Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Continuing in our study for Quran chapter 15, today we're going to look at another people group which is called Ashab al-A'ikka. Now, when you read the word Ashab al-A'ikka in the Arabic language, it does not mean anything except they are the companion of some thickets, some trees which are intertwined with each other. Now, what do we know about these people? And what do we know about their messenger? As we ask the questions, where did these people live? When did they live? What was their sin? What was the message of their prophet? And who is a prophet? Does he really exist in history? Do we have any external evidence besides that which is written in the four passages in the Quran to learn about their prophet or those people? The answer is no and no and no. We really know nothing about those people. All that we know, Muhammad mentioned these people in four different locations in the Quran. Quran chapter 15, beginning from verse 78. Quran chapter 26, beginning from verse 176. Quran chapter 38, beginning from verse 13. And Quran chapter 50, beginning from verse 14. Now let's start with Quran chapter 15, as we will read verses 78 and 79. In verse 78, Allah stated, "And the unjust were companions of the thicket." Yes, indeed, these are the people we're talking about, the companions of the thicket. What is their problem? They were unjust. Okay, let's move on to the next verse. In verse 79, we read, "So we took vengeance on them." Excuse me, what? Yeah, Allah took vengeance on them. "And surely they are on an obvious road." Now, I have no idea what I just have read to you in the English language. And believe me, if I will read it to you in the Arabic language, it will be the same thing. Nobody with any logic, even those who have a very high education degree, can understand these two verses and make any sense out of them. So I will go with you to another passage, which is Quran chapter 38. And let us start our reading from verse 12. For there we read, "Before them, the people of Noah and Ad and Pharaoh, the possessor of stakes, denied." Before who? We're talking about before the infidels of Quraysh. These are the people of Muhammad, the people of Noah, the people of Ad, and Pharaoh, the possessor of stakes, denied. I did not know that Pharaoh have anything to do with sticks. That is a piece of wood which he used to secure the tent to the earth. Pharaoh never slept in a tent. You see, Muhammad maybe think Pharaoh is like the bad one of his days. So somehow he tied Pharaoh to the watad, which is the piece of wood you use to secure a tent to the ground. That is a big mistake. But notice here, people of Noah, we know. Ad, I have no clue. Pharaoh, it does not exist in the history of Egypt for him to be a man who lived in a tent. And then you move on to verse 13, where Allah said, "And Thamud, and the people of Lot, and the companion of the woods." Those are the parties. Notice what we have here. Thamud, we have no idea who these people are. People of Lot? Okay, what the people of Lot have to do with anything? And then we come to Ashabul A'ikka, which is the people we are studying about in our program for today. These are the companions of the wood. Those are the parties. What kind of parties? What is the story about these parties? Oh, let us go to verse 14 so we can understand about all these people. For Allah there mentioned that all of them but denied the messengers. So the punishment is established. All these people denied the messengers? I thought, as we covered previously in our study about Lot, that most of the people did not believe, but some did believe. Which, by the way, contradicts that which is written in Genesis account. Nobody believed in Lot at all. Even when Lot went to speak to his daughters and his sons-in-law, he was mocked. shocked by them and they did not believe. So now in this verse, we see that these are the parties who did not believe, even though somewhere else we know that some people did believe. In verse 15, we continue to read, and those will not wait but for one shout, which does not cease. I do not know what is going on with Muhammad's imagination about that one shout. I mean, you think about it. How loud is that shout? How long is that shout? How can people be punished by a shout? What is about the shout with the people of Samud, with the people of Noah, or the people of Ad, or Pharaoh, the man who live in a tent, or Samud, or the people of Lot, or the companions of the woods? I have no idea what Muhammad is trying to tell us about that shout. Muhammad stated that Allah created, after he created the heaven and the earth, a horn or a trumpet. And Allah gave that horn to the angel Israfil. And he is looking at the throne of Allah until he will be commanded. Muhammad told us that that horn is a great horn, and it will be blown three times. The first one, it is a blow of terrifying. The second blow, it is a blow of shocking. As for the third blow, it is the blow of the rise to the Lord of the world. So angel Israfil will be commanded by Allah to blow the first blow. So people of the heavens and the people on the earth will be all terrified, except whomever Allah choose not to be terrified. And angel Israfil will be blowing in that horn for a long, long time. It will never stop. And as usual, many scholars disagree and give us different interpretation. You see what's happening here, my friends? Muslim scholars who are trying to interpret to us about that blow and that shout, they have no clue what they're talking about. You cannot give me 10 or 15 different ridiculous interpretations to a word in the Quran, and not even one of them is close to the other, and you tell me that's what Allah meant. You cannot understand the Quran by reading the Quran, and worse than that, you will not understand the Quran if you read the interpretation of the Quran by so-called Muslim scholars. In simple words, Muhammad, my friends, was making poetry in the Quran, and that poetry does not have any message at all. Well, let's move on to the next verse. That is verse 16. For there we read, and they said, our Lord, hasten to us, to our quit. That is a word sentence from a non-Arabic word, probably Greek or Aramaic origin, before the reckoning day. Now you read the interpretation of Al-Tabari, and somehow we move from the people of Noah and Ad and Pharaoh, the man who used to live in a tent, and the people of Samud and the people of Lot and the companions of the woods, to who? To the people of Quraysh. Somehow the Quran changed direction from talking about people in the past to the infidels of Quraysh. And that is the beauty of the Quran. So what did we learn from verse 13 about the companions of the woods? I still believe we learned nothing. Well, let's move on to another passage in the Quran. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 50. And let us begin our reading from verse 12. But notice here, when we read this passage, you will not find a place to stop. It's just the sentence keep going and going and going without any message. Listen to what Allah said before them. Who are them here? Once again, according to the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, before the infidels of Quraysh, the people of Muhammad. All right, let's move on. Before them, the people of Noah and the companions of Ross and Samud. And who are the companions of Ross? They are the people of a well. And that well is named Ross. The companion or the prophet of Yasin was killed in it. And what do we know about that prophet? And what do we know about the companion of Yasin? We know nothing. It's just another word added to the verses of the Quran to make the poetry, and no one have a clue what Muhammad is talking about. But we have heard about the people of Samud, which are also made up people with Muhammad's imagination. Let's move on to verse 13. and Ad, another fabricated story by Muhammad, and Pharaoh and the brethren of Lot. And as I told you before, Lot does not have any brethren, period. All right, we move on to verse 14. And the companions of the woods. These are the people we are talking about today in our study. And the people of Taba. Who are these people? Once again, only God knows who these people are. They all deny the messengers. So my threat becomes established. Somehow, all what we learn from the Quran, Muhammad made up a name of a people group or made up a name of a prophet. And then the punishment of Allah was on the people. And only God knows what he is talking about in the Quran. These are simply fabricated stories without even any details. In verse 15, are we wearied with the first creation? That's Allah speaking about. Did he get tired when he created the first thing and everything he created in the world? Yet they are in doubt about a new creation. I did not know that Allah will be creating some new creation. In verse 16, and indeed we created the human and we know what his soul whispers within him, and we are closer to him than his jugular vein. And we move on and on and on to read another 10 verses in that chapter. As a matter of fact, we can go to the last verse, which is verse 45. And we will not figure out anything about the people of the woods or any of the other people which Muhammad mentioned in that chapter.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now we get to the last portion of the Quran, where we can really learn a little bit about the people of the woods. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 26, beginning from verse 176. For there we read, the dwellers of the woods denied the messengers. Once again, messengers in the Arabic language is plural, which means in the grammar of the Arabic language, three or more. But when we go to the found verse, that is verse 177, we read, when Shaib said to them, will you not fear? And how many people? Shaib? No, it's just one guy. An invented messenger by the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, according to his great imagination, and somehow Allah could not even put the grammar right in two verses in the Quran. They denied the messengers, when in reality it was just one, by the name Shaib. In verse 178 we read, surely I am a faithful messenger to you. I'm sorry, I never read anywhere in the Bible that some prophet or some messenger will go to the people and say, I'm a faithful, I'm a good guy, I'm a humble guy, I'm the best. Because that does not even fit with a true understanding to how the message of a true prophet should be. You don't prove yourself to be a good prophet or a truthful prophet by saying I'm a good guy or I am a faithful or a truthful guy. You prove it by your action, by miracles or signs, so people can believe in you and whatever message you are bringing. So, let's move on to verse 179. What did he ask him to do? Prophet Shaib said, so fear Allah and obey me. Fear Allah and obey me. A repeated verse all over the Quran by every name we have read. If it's a true prophet, as in the case of biblical characters, or imaginary prophets, as in the case of this prophet here, Prophet Shaib. In verse 180, and I do not ask you any wage for it. My wage is bought on the Lord of the worlds. Once again, a repeated verse all over the Quran. Muhammad repeated over and over and over again. Every prophet who came to whatever people group he made up, he always say, I'm doing that for free. I don't need salary. Don't pay me a wage for it. I'm doing it and my wage is on Allah. So what was the problem of these people, the people of Shaib? We found the problem in verse 181. Fulfill the measure and do not be of those who give less. You don't cheat on weighing whatever you're selling. There must be some salesmen who are selling and buying some merchandise. So he's telling them, be truthful in your measuring. In verse 182, weigh with a straight balance. If you are using the pound or the kilograms, you need to be right here. Don't cheat on that either. In verse 183, and do not defraud people of their things. It is like Prophet Shaib is telling them, do not steal and do not act wickedly in the land, vandalizing. What a great advice. So far, so good. Even though we do not know who is Shaib or who are the people of the woods. In verse 184, and fear who created you and the ancient generations. Fear Allah. Yeah, Allah created you and Allah created all the people who came before you. So far, so good. Listen to verse 185. They said, surely you are only of the bewitched. I don't understand. How is that? Some guy is coming to talk to people as a messenger or as a prophet to tell them, be fair in your way and your measuring. Don't cheat people. Do good business. And somehow they believe if they do that, they are following a bewitched man. Does this make any sense to you? No, it does not. Okay, let's move on to the next verse, which is verse 186. And you are only a human like us. Wait a minute. Did Shaib said he's an angel? No. Did Shaib said he is something more than a human? No. So why Muhammad keep repeating the same sentence from one prophet to another? But let's continue. And we think you are surely among the liars. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, don't cheat when you do business. Don't steal people. Measure the right way and weigh the right way and do good business. You must be a liar for saying that to us. What a stupid sentence. This is the miracle of the Quran. That's how we know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that Muhammad is a prophet. By what? By the beautiful poetry of the Quran. If you read it, you will leave Islam. Any Muslim with logic or common sense, when he reads the Quran, I guarantee you he'll leave Islam. Unless he's reading it wearing the black glass of Islam, which you cannot see anything through it. How in the world? A prophet is asking people to do right business, not to steal or to cheat people. Somehow he is a liar. You mean you are truthful if you tell people to steal and to cheat in handling some businesses? In verse 187, so drop on us a part of the heaven if you were of the truthful. Wow. Since now we know you are a liar, if you want to prove to us that you are a true prophet, go ahead, drop a piece of heaven. What heaven? You see, in Muhammad's imagination, as we talked about that before, Muhammad thought heaven is a structure. And how great Allah is who lift up the heaven without pillars and he hold it by his hand. If he just let it go, it will fall on the people and will crush them. Yes, indeed. The people of Shaib believe in the same message. So it's not just Muhammad making up some lies about the structure of the heaven. No. It's true. It's even known by the people of Shaib, the people of the woods. Go ahead, Shaib. Make our day. Drop a piece of heaven on us so it will crush us and we will die. Now let's read how Prophet Shaib responded to them. He said in verse 188, my Lord knows best what you do. Wow, that's a very important information. Yes, indeed. Allah, the Lord of Prophet Shaib, know exactly what people do. So they denied him. So the torment seized them on the covering day. Surely it was a day of great torment. Wow. Allah punished them so badly on the day of the covering. What is that day of the covering? The great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri told us, it was very hot, which makes them so worried in their homes. So Allah made a cloud, brought a shade, so they went outside of their home to be under that cloud. So when they felt peace upon being under the cloud, the shock got them as they were burned by the fire from that cloud. Wow, isn't that neat? Another scholar said, Prophet Shaib was sent to two different nations. His people, the people of Medina, and the companions of the woods. But when Allah desired to punish them, he brought to them very hot weather until he sent that cloud. So when the cloud got close to them, they came out of their homes to be under its shade. And that is when that cloud rained on them with fire. And we can go on and on and on with many fabricated interpretations. My friends, there was no prophet by the name Shaib, and the people of the woods never existed. This is just more foolish verses in the Quran without message, without truth. If there was any prophet and people by such names, we should have at least a little bit more information about them in the Quran. And we should have some evidence that these people existed. But somehow, since the fire came down from the cloud and they were all burned and there was no evidence of their existence, that itself make Muhammad a prophet of truth. Because the proof of the story of Muhammad is that we do not have any evidence for their existence. Can't you see it? No, I say this is just more foolishness, like many of the made-up stories of Muhammad in the Quran. And to continue in our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.